All this talk about eating on Sunday, let's go back and finish our message on fasting that we started 2 weeks ago. By the way, that dinner on Sunday from 5:30 to 6:30, you don't have to be there at 5:30 if you're coming. Come time, any time between that, it'll be served all during that hour. So if you want to join them that evening, the teens are looking for ways to... Pastor Lewis is looking for ways for the teens to earn the money that they get instead of just having it handed to them. All right, we usually pay for anything the teens need to do. They went to a Sky Zone kind of thing, trampoline jumping today, and you know the church is going to do whatever. But he wants them to be responsible for earning some of the money they do to do that. So that's what they're going to do that for. We try to stay away from bake sales and yard sales and car washes and all that kind of stuff. So something internal like that is a better way to go. So if you want to help the teen department on Sunday and you don't want to have to cook Sunday evening, just be here between 5:30 and 6:30 and it will be perfect. All right, that's how it'll be. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's pray. Father, give us guidance tonight as we look into the Scriptures. Lord, the only sure thing that we have in this world, the only sure information, the only thing that's tried, true, and tested. And so, Lord, as we look at it, may we look at it as it is indeed the Word of God. Father, it's not suggestions. Lord, it's not opinions. Father, it is the infallible Word of God. And we're so thankful that You've given it to us. And tonight, as we search its pages, may You instruct us on this area of fasting. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'll remind you of a couple of things we looked at. It's been a couple of weeks since we looked at this because of VBS last week, but we noted in verse number 16, it says, moreover, when ye fast. Not moreover, if ye fast, but moreover, when ye fast. The Lord takes it for granted that just like we are going to attend church, just like we are going to witness to others, just like we are going to pray, the Lord assumes that we're going to fast. He said in verse number 2, when thou doest thine alms. He didn't say if you give. He said when you give. He said in verse number 5, and when thou prayest. Not if you pray, but when you pray. There are some expectations the Lord has for you and I as Christians. Some expectations the Father has for His children. How well do we fulfill our Father's expectations? By giving, by praying, by fasting. All right, the giving and the praying, most of us have that one down pretty good, those two down pretty good. How about the fasting thing? Now, I will open this by saying simply this. I am no expert on fasting. I do not fast enough. And again, we're not talking about health reasons. We're talking about spiritual reasons. There's nothing wrong, and we'll just say there's nothing wrong for fasting for health reasons. But when the Bible talks about fasting, it's talking about a scriptural or biblical fast. And it says, when you fast, here's how you're supposed to do it. So we've been looking at some things that the Bible says about fasting. Why is it that fasting is such a little-known subject? If you search some websites from preachers and look through their websites, look for a sermon on fasting. They are very rare. Not a whole lot there. When you do Bible studies and people do Bible studies on doctrines or practical things, find one on fasting and not real easy to find. Why is it that fasting is such a rare thing? And I think I know the reason. It's not fun. All right, we like things that are fun. Even as Christians, we like things that are fun. And fasting is not fun. And so we tend to shy away from things that we just don't enjoy doing. Fasting is a sacrifice. It is the Bible. We're going to see the word tonight associated with it. It is an affliction. Who wants, who volunteers for afflictions? And that's what spiritual fasting is. And so it is something that is a powerful weapon in our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And yet it is an oft-neglected weapon in using in our spiritual battle. Recapping, we looked last time at the meaning of fasting. And let me just, we looked at Daniel chapter 10. We'll not turn there. If you don't have notes on it, it was Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. The meaning of fasting, and we found out that fasting was simply to give up food for the purpose of seeking God for a specific request. And that's a very good biblical definition of spiritual biblical fasting, all right? To give up food or drink, really. Daniel chapter 10 said he had no pleasant wine or meat enter his mouth for 3 days. No, 3 weeks in Daniel chapter 10. And so it is giving up food or drink for the purpose of seeking God for a specific request. When something is so heavy on your heart and such a burden, and you want it so badly that you're willing to show God, that you're willing to deny your flesh by fasting for a given period of time. And the last point of our message tonight, we'll talk about those times. But it's giving up the food for the purpose of seeking God for a specific request. We looked last time again at some of those requests. We look at Esther when she was going to go in before the king and take her life in her hands. She might be beheaded by going into the king when he didn't call for her. And she told all the Jews in the palace, she said, "Fast and pray for me for 3 days." And so they fasted. Her life was going to be on the line. We read in Acts chapter 27, I'm skipping through some of them. Acts chapter 27, those sailors that were out on the sea with Paul taking him from Alexandria to Rome. And there was a storm and it was so bad that these men were giving up all hope that they should be saved. And they fasted for 14 days out on that ocean. And because they were asking God to spare their lives. Daniel in the lion's den. It wasn't he that fasted, he wasn't worried. It was King Darius whose decree had put him there unwittingly. That the Bible says he spent his night fasting. Now you say, well, I fast every night from the time I fall asleep to the time I wake up the next morning. Well, when it says he fasted all night, it means he was up all night long praying for Daniel that the lions wouldn't devour him, and he denied himself from touching food or drink during that time he was awake. So that's what it is, having a specific request that we want God to answer badly enough that we just feel, I've got to do more than pray, I need to fast. If you're like me, you can look back now and see many opportunities we missed that we probably should have fasted. Something that was that important to us that we wanted that we didn't think of it, it didn't enter our mind, we didn't do it. Whether the result was positive or negative, we don't know, but how different it might have been. But the purpose now is not to look back, the purpose is to look forward. And realize that next time something is that big, that monumental, that important to us, that we can spend some time fasting for whatever that need is. That's the meaning of fasting. Look at Isaiah 58, and I thought about not turning there, but we have to. The misuse of fasting. And we'll just read a couple verses here. We covered this last time, but you can fast for the wrong reason. Or misuse fasting. In Isaiah 58 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not." They were fasting. God didn't pay any attention to it. There is a worthless fast. All right? Isaiah 58, 3. "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls," that's fasting, "and thou takest no knowledge." And so I sure don't want that to happen. If I'm going to go for some time without eating or drinking, I sure want God to pay attention. Why didn't He pay attention? "Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors." You know what they were doing? They were resting on that day and doing things they enjoyed doing. And the Bible, and talk about exacting your labors, means they were expecting others to do the work for them that they would normally be doing so that they could just enjoy themselves during that time. He said in verse 4, "Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." God says, I'm not listening when you misuse a fast. A fast is a time of sorrow and sadness, of afflicting your soul, not of mirth and merrymaking. And so remember that when you're going to fast, that's not the time to pick some special enjoyable thing to do. Oh, that will keep my mind off eating. Well, that defeats the purpose of a fast. You know what a fast does? It makes you think about your stomach all day long. Have you ever had your stomach growl? Let tell you you're hungry? Well, the purpose of a fast is for you to hear that and it reminds you, I'm fasting on purpose right now. I'm setting myself aside and praying to God for something specific. It's not a day of mirth and merrymaking and all that. It's a day of afflicting our souls. And they were misusing that fast. We look thirdly at the motivation for fasting, and that took us back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 16. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to unto men to fast. All right, their motivation was for show and tell. For everybody to know that they were fasting, to walk around with that, oh, woe is me attitude. So that everybody would ask them, what's wrong? I'm fasting. It was a spiritual badge of honor for them. And the Lord, again, did not recognize that. You remember the verse in Luke chapter 18? We'll not turn there, but Luke 18 and verse 12 was where the Pharisee stood up and said, I thank God I'm not as other men. I give alms. I fast twice a week. That's what he said. I fast two times in the week. For what? Just fasting for no reason is worthless as far as spiritual reasons are concerned. Now, if you're fasting 2 days for health reasons, that it'll do something. But that guy wasn't bragging about that. He's bragging about a spiritual thing. I fast 2 days in a week. Some folks will say, I fast every Friday. I fast every Monday. As long as you have a purpose for that fasting. There were some times back here a while ago that Brother Chuck Harding was contacting all the preachers across the United States and saying, would you fast and pray with us on Friday for this thing or that thing? And he would mention specific needs. That's why you fast. Not just to do it a couple days a week to knock it off and check off your list and say, I do this. But when you've got something specific you need, and it can be anything. So the motivation for fasting is not for an exhibition, not for a ritual. You have to have the right motivation. It's prayer and fasting. Now that brings us tonight to point number 4, which we didn't cover the first Wednesday night, and that is the ministry of fasting. The ministry of fasting. We're fasting because we want God to know we are sincere in our desire for Him to answer this prayer. But what does fasting do for us? And again, we're talking about the spiritual side, not about how it makes your body eat up all those carbs. You know, that's all good health stuff. But what does it do spiritually for us? Look back at Ezra chapter 8, if you would. And hopefully we'll get through these tonight. Look back at Ezra chapter 8. What does prayer and fasting do for us? And I've kind of touched on this already or mentioned it. Ezra chapter 8, verse number 21. Ezra leading the people. They're going back to rebuild the walls. He says in verse 21, and I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava. Notice I proclaimed a fast that we might afflict ourselves. See, that's what fasting is. It's an affliction. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. It's not intended to be that. It's intended to be an affliction, a sacrificing thing for that period of time. That we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. See, they had a specific purpose for their fasting, to seek a right way for us. Jump down, if you would, to verse 22 is great, but jump down to verse 23. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. The ministry of fasting, first of all, it will strengthen your prayer life. It will strengthen your prayer. It'll put more emphasis on your prayer life. Now, I'm not at all trying to demean prayer. We know how valuable and important that is. But fasting, if I can use this expression, it seems sounds so weak, is taking it up a step. Fasting is adding something to prayer that's making... Here's what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean that all day long we got our head bowed and our eyes closed? No, it means that all day long we're communicating with God. Prayer is supposed to be an everyday part of our life. Fasting is not an everyday part of our life. Fasting is something we use at a specific time for a specific purpose, and it will strengthen our prayer life because it will make us mindful that we're doing something more than just praying. It adds a new dimension to our prayer life. Remember what it said in Isaiah 58? It said, this is a fast I don't listen to because it's all about your pleasure. You're enjoying yourself during this time. That doesn't improve your prayer life. Your prayer life improves when you are fasting, when you're hungry, when your stomach is growling, when you're constantly reminding yourself, I'm doing this today for a certain purpose and a certain reason. It'll be on your mind all day long. I guarantee it. Because every time you think it's noon, I should be eating. It's 5:30, I should be eating. It's 9 o'clock, I should be snacking. It's 10:30, I should be snacking again. However that schedule goes. All right, when that comes along and you're feeling those hunger pangs and you know it, that reminds you of what you're doing and it strengthens your prayer life. Number two, it subdues self. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Can I tell you exactly why fasting is hard? Because your flesh wants to be fed. Your body wants food. It's natural. It's normal. You decide you're going to fast a certain day. Let's say it's Thursday. So you go to bed Wednesday night. You eat something, a snack before bed. You get up Thursday morning, whatever your normal routine is that you usually eat Thursday morning, and you've decided you're going to fast this day. Well, you are mindful of it the moment you wake up that morning. And you head out the door having not eaten, and your body kind of says, wait a minute, didn't you forget something? About 10 o'clock, it's saying, hey, I want some food. Around noon, it speaks to you a little bit louder. And the longer the day goes, the more it tries to convince you what you're doing is really dumb. You shouldn't be doing this. There's no purpose in this. You need to take care of that flesh. You know what? You know what? It subdues self. It gives you an opportunity to put down the flesh. Look at Psalm 69, verse number 10. When I wept, notice, and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. Nothing wrong with talking to yourself. And when yourself says, feed me, now, forgive my language, but when you say it anyways, say, shut up. I'm fasting. You're not getting fed today. I guarantee, if you've ever done it, you know it's a battle. You know it's a battle. Denying yourself anything for a certain period of time. And so that's what it's all about. It subdues self. Our flesh is a harsh taskmaster. You know that? Our flesh is a harsh taskmaster. Once it has part of us, it doesn't want to let go of that. And it doesn't matter what it is, our flesh is a hard taskmaster. And when you say, flesh, I'm not feeding you for 24 hours, it's not going to just sit back and say, okay, whatever you want to do, that's fine with me. You're afflicting, you're chastening your soul. It will strengthen your prayer life. It subdues self. Number three, it stops the judgment of God. Can you imagine that? How powerful must that be? It stops the judgment of God. You're probably going to know what I'm going to say the minute I give you the reference. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Surely you didn't think the preacher was going to say that and then not have a Bible verse for it. Jonah chapter 3. You know what happened at the end of verse 4? Jonah entered into the city and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God had decided he was going to destroy Nineveh because of their wickedness. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put out sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And you know what God did? He postponed his judgment. In fact, if I remember my numbers right, he postponed it. Nineveh ended up getting judged. It no longer is because of its harshness toward the children of Israel. But God postponed that judgment for 150 years. You know what postponed it? Verse number 5 in Jonah chapter 3. That's it. That's what postponed the judgment of God. So the people prayed, believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth of the greatest of them, even to the least of them. Notice that sackcloth. That tells you they're not having a happy time. They're not going out seeking pleasure. They're not going out having fun. They are repenting of their sin. They are believing God. They're believing what He said, that if you don't repent, Nineveh is going to get sacked. And so they believed it. It stops the judgment of God. Then number 4 in the ministry of fasting, it supplies guidance. You're in Jonah. Turn back a few pages to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, and we kind of touched on this the first Wednesday night also. It's hard not to have these things overlap. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 3. Verse 3. I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. Notice in verse 3, to seek by prayer and supplication. He's seeking something. What was it? Well, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereby the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He had read in the prophet Jeremiah about the 70 years of desolation. He wanted to know more. So he said, I sought it by prayer, supplication, and fasting. Seeking the guidance of God by prayer and fasting. It gives guidance. Look over in the New Testament at Acts chapter 13. We're going to get to Acts 13. Two weeks from now. We would be this Sunday, but Brother Morrison will be here with us, so the Sunday after that in Sunday school will be starting Acts 13. But notice here in Acts 13 and verse 1, now there was in the church that is at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When we get to Acts 13, we're going to see that that is a monumental chapter. Acts chapter 13, it began the modern missions movement. When I say modern, it's 2,000 years old, but it began the missions movement of the church. And it began by some men that were praying and fasting, and God gave guidance and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It supplies guidance. You got a big decision to make? That's the way to do it. To seek God by prayer and by fasting. Have you ever, and I'm being careful in how I said it, have you ever prayed and it didn't work out positively, if that's not the right word? Maybe it would have if we'd fasted. Maybe fasting would change something that we prayed for and got an answer different than what we're looking for. I'm not guaranteeing that. I'm just saying sometimes God might be looking from heaven saying, how bad do you want that? How bad do you want me to give you guidance? Bad enough to fast or no? When they fasted, they got guidance. So the ministry of fasting, it strengthens your prayer life. It subdues self. It stops the judgment of God. It supplies guidance. And then lastly, number five, the manner of fasting. The manner of fasting. We already know what it is. It's denying yourself food and drink. For how long? Can I start with the big one? We all know that Moses fasted 40 days on top of Mount Sinai. We know that Elijah, in meeting with God, fasted for 40 days. We know that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, in the wilderness, fasted for 40 days. Now, this might sound like a no-brainer to you, but I'm going to say it anyways because sometimes you have to say it. Don't fast for 40 days the first time you try to fast. It ain't going to happen. All right? You're not Moses on top of a mountain communing with God. You're not Elijah on a cliffside communing with God. You're not the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness communing with God. We desire communion with God, but these three men took it to the extreme. 40 days and 40 nights they fasted. That's exceptional. That's wonderful. And maybe somebody one day will get to that, one of us. But don't make that your goal. Don't say, well, it's either 40 days or nothing. I know what it'll be. Nothing. Because you'll get 4 hours into it and say, I can't do this for 40 days. If you say, I'm doing it for 24 hours, you got a shorter goal, you got a better chance of doing that. Remember what I said in Daniel chapter... remember when I said it? I don't remember. Daniel chapter 6, all right? Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 8. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 8. We looked at Daniel 10. We looked at Daniel 9. All these about fasting. There's a lot of fasting going on in the book of Daniel. And notice this. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel's in the lion's den. I made reference to that. The king had been hoodwinked in the signing a decree that he had no idea was going to backfire on him, and that his number one president, his prized one, was going to end up in a lion's den. But in verse number 18 of Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says, then the king went to his palace, notice this, and passed the night fasting. Now, that's sunset to sunrise. That's about 12 hours. If you're going to fast for something, that might be the place to start. Not necessarily the nighttime because you're cheating. You're sleeping most of that time. But maybe a 12-hour, maybe from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening. Maybe from the time you get up until right before bed. A 12-hour fast. That's approximately what that king did. But the reason he stopped is because Daniel was just in the lion's den for one night. And the next morning, he didn't no sense fasting after he knew that Daniel said, oh king, I'm fine. God has stopped the mouths of the lions. But there was a fast that lasted one night, about 12 hours. And so as we begin contemplating and thinking about fasting for something, maybe the first time you say, God, I'm going to fast for 12 hours. You know this burden that's on my heart, this thing I've been praying for a long time, this thing I need help with, peace with, comfort with, whatever it is, I'm going to fast, you know, and again, it's between you and God, I'm going to fast for the next 12 hours for one day. And Lord, I just want you to know that I'm doing this because I want you to hear and answer, and you'll be conscious of that all day long. Now, we said this before, you don't advertise it, you don't broadcast it, you don't make it known, but again, it would be good to tell your spouse, especially if you're the man and your wife does the cooking. It's good to be on good terms with a woman whose food you eat. All right? You don't want to come home from work at 4:30 and she's been cooking for 2 hours and you say, oh, by the way, I'm fasting. Yeah, you sure are. You'll probably be fasting for breakfast tomorrow too after that. But it's not wrong to communicate like that. And as I said before, it's not bad to communicate to a close friend or something. Say, you know, I'm going to be fasting for this or that, and I would appreciate it if you would help me and pray with me during this time that I'm fasting. And as sincerity, again, not a show off and not a get somebody, but just, or go to your pastor, whoever he might be. Go to your pastor and say, Pastor, I just want you to know that a certain day this week I'm going to be fasting for this thing or that thing. I've got a real important thing coming up. You never know, he might even join you and fast that same day for you. So it's not wrong to tell, it's wrong to advertise it for glory, but not for support, not for help. And maybe it's a 12-hour fast like it was for Darius that night. Look at Nehemiah. Back before Job, we made reference to Esther already, before Esther, the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, then Job. And I'm telling you that, and I'm looking in a completely different place. All right, Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah had a burden. He found out the walls of Jerusalem were still lying in ash heaps, burned down to the ground. He was brokenhearted and wanted to do something about it. Chapter 1, verse 4, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. All right, again, he's got an extreme burden. He's got a need that he really wants God to hear. How long did he fast? The Bible says in verse number 4, certain days. How many is certain days? Yes, that's how many it is. Okay, I don't know. I don't know if that's 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, but it's more than one because it's certain days, plural. And so we know that a fast can be for one day. It can be one night. It can be 12 hours. It can be certain days. We mentioned Esther, which is right after Nehemiah. Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Esther told Mordecai, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink," there's fasting, 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. All right, again, there's one where they're sharing the burden. They're telling other people, fast. Fast with me, we're going to fast with you. So it's a group thing, nothing wrong with that. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. You know those great words of Esther there. But they fasted for 3 days, day and night. So a fast can be 12 hours, a fast can be certain days, 1 or 2 days, a fast can be 3 days. A fast can be 7 days. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Again, I like having biblical examples. You say, well, can I not fast for 4 days? You didn't show on 4 days. I would simply say, certain days might be four. We'll win that battle, all right? 1 Samuel 31. Saul and his son Jonathan have been slain. Philistines have taken their bodies and hung them up and gloated over them. The men of Jabesh-Gilead snuck over there and stole those bodies and brought them down to save the children of Israel from the humiliation. The valiant men, verse 12, 1 Samuel 31, verse 12. All the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul, the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So there's a 7-day fast. They were asking God to take the reproach off Israel that the Philistines had put upon them by slaying Saul, their king, and Jonathan, the apparent heir to the Philistines anyways. So they fasted 7 days. In Acts 27, and the only reason we're turning there, it's good for you to underline these different places or make note of them and know where they are. Acts chapter 27. Again, the men on the ship, as it's about to be tossed and obliterated. Verse number 32, the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." When their lives were on the line, the ship was to be demolished by the winds and the waves, they fasted for 14 days, asking for God to save them, to deliver them. And Paul, when he got the message from God that this was going to be the day that God was going to deliver him, said, "Hey, fellas, you can stop your fast now. Take some meat. Eat something. You've been fasting 14 days. You're going to need your energy, your strength, so fast." Daniel chapter 10. This is the last reference. Daniel chapter 10. We'll not look at Jesus, Elijah, and Moses with the 40-day fast. But here in Daniel chapter 10, we read, "Otherwise, as far as I know, the longest fast." Verse number 1, "In the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till the whole 3 weeks were fulfilled." So here's Daniel fasting for 21 days. 3 weeks of fasting. Can you imagine? 3 weeks of not eating or drinking anything. Now, in health circles, there's things they call a juice fast, where you drink juice the whole time. And again, those are health things, and that's fine for health things. But a biblical fast is no food and no drink for 12 hours, certain days, 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 40 days and 40 nights. That's the time of fasting. I would recommend, and this is just my personal opinion, if you haven't fasted, start with the 12 hours. Don't jump in head first. Don't say, "I'm going to go 40 days and 40 nights." One thing I would tell you this is, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, though it's not recorded, probably fasted other times for not that long. I'm sure with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not the only time He fasted. I'm pretty sure that Elijah and Moses probably did it more often. If you could do it for 40 days, it's not because that's the only time you did it. You're used to doing that. So if you're going to fast for something, it's a need. You know, there's something out there. There's something that you need God to do. You determine, "All right, I'm going to fast for that. When do I start?" On the spiritual aspect, when do I start? That day, the day before it, 3 days before it, 2 weeks before it, something comes up automatically like it did in Daniel's day where he got thrown in the lion's den. King said, "I'm going to spend my night praying and fasting right now." Fast. Now the question was asked last week or 2 weeks ago by more than one person. What if you're taking medication? And I tried to figure out what Moses did with his medication. What Elijah probably did with his that's different days. And those guys were probably young and healthy when they fasted. I know Jesus was. And Elijah probably was. So the question is, what if you're taking medications? I don't know about you, I have done it before. I've taken ibuprofen or taken something dry down my throat. That'll make you miserable. That'll just make you just plain terrible. You won't have to paint your face and let people know you're fasting. You take your medications without any water. Everybody will know you're fasting because you'll look miserable and act miserable. So knowing that you have that handicap, so to speak, just accommodate it. Take the water when you have to take your medications 3 times a day, 2 times a day, whatever it is. Some of the medications have to be taken with food. Hallelujah, I can't fast. Work around it. Go around it. Eat when you have to take it, and then set a period of time of hours. You know, it depends on how it's set up. If you have to take it 3 times a day with food, I think most of them are probably twice a day with food. Make sure you go between that without anything fast at that time. But don't sacrifice what you know is common sense for your spiritual goals. Again, now we're kind of wandering off anything that gives us biblical guidance because I'm not sure they had as many problems back then as we have in our day today with all these things. But accommodate that. Again, if you know tomorrow it's going to be 84 degrees here in Cambridge and I've got to tear shingles off my roof so that I can get the other ones on by the weekend, don't fast. Don't fast when you know you're going to be up on the roof ripping shingles off in 84 degree heat that day. Pick a time when you know you can tone it back a little bit and focus on what you're going to be doing praying, not exerting yourself physically. Again, Jesus 40 days in the wilderness, Elijah 40 days on the cliff, Moses 40 days on top of the mountain. I don't think they were doing push-ups and running marathons at the same time. And again, I'm not saying that to belittle the importance of it, but be wise in it. There's the Bible talks about the 5 different crowns you get when you get to heaven. I don't know if there's one that you get for dying while you're fasting. All right, the Lord says, hey, you fasted and then had to tear the shingles off and I got you home, so you get a crown. No, there's not that. So use wisdom. Use common sense in it. But can I encourage you, and I'm speaking to me right now, can I encourage us, include fasting in our lives. Include fasting in our prayer life. We talk about reading our Bibles. Oh, how sad it'd be to get before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. We haven't read our Bible through one time in our lifetime. Or we're not reading it through once a year as Christians, as children of God. And how much more so these other things that God's enabled us to do. We get up there and say, no, God, I never fasted. And the Lord will simply say, was nothing ever that important to you? Was there never anything in your life that was so needful that you felt you had to? I don't know how all that works out. But I know this. Jesus said, when you give your alms, when you pray, when you fast, it's an expectation. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.